Good evening. This is Mae Brussel. This is KAZU-FM in Pacific Grove, California. It is broadcast number 564, and it is September the 27th, 1982. Another month has rolled around. It's hard to believe. I'm laughing. I'm sitting here in this control room on my own. For 11 years, I was spoiled. At the other station, we're on our own here, and I'll do the best I can and make a pitch during the minute break when we turn the cassette over and take that 1 minute break and ask you to send contributions to the listener's sponsored station, which is KAZU. There were some very interesting articles this week in the newspaper the past week that I want to delve into just a little bit, and then I'm going to start. They are part of a series that I think is very necessary, and we'll call it Grace Kelly Part 1, 2, and 3 for want of a better name. There have been a configuration of events taking place since June that have been overwhelming to me and other researchers, and they fit into a pattern in studying what happened to Grace or what's happening to these other people now. And the way they are affecting us is very, very important. A little bit of background, say, on part one, and what it really is these next 3 weeks will be a resume of what has happened since June, incorporating what's coming out each week as it unfolds. What is really happening is that the events from World War II were never exposed. Many books are coming out now. The truth about who funded Adolf Hitler, how Hitler and Martin Bormann and Hallmar Schacht and John J. McCloy of Chase Manhattan and the major corporations were very sorry that Hitler lost the war against the Soviet Union. They had invested fortunes into this person and into Mussolini. The Vatican and the multinationals were hoping to wipe out communism. The Antichrist and the division of wealth among the people was something that the deposed monarchies couldn't stand. And the plan to try again for World War III to conquer Russia was conceived, as I've said many times, in 1943 when they realized that Germany could not take the Soviet Union in the first attempt called World War II or the Third Reich. Now, what happened was that the money was drained out of the banks. Money was counterfeited. Stocks were counterfeited. There's forgery tested in the Swiss banks, and the banks of Japan and Germany were completely depleted. So the Allies, who Hitler wanted to defeat anyway, Britain and the United States, would be forced to rebuild with our own money and efforts the war and get them back to business to trade with us again to start the whole cycle over. Call it capitalism of what you want, but this was the intent. And in the meantime, Adolf Hitler had very serious plans on how to take the United States, how to conquer the United States. There's parts of that described in a book, Man Called Intrepid, by William Stevenson, on the problem of Hitler wanting to conquer the United States and how he would do it. And when J. Edgar Hoover and the FBI began to investigate Adolf Hitler, they found that corporations like IG Farben were tangled into the American corporate structure, ITT, IG Farben. They ended up investigating themselves and people like the Rockefeller family that were the cover for intelligence operations and were ready to cooperate with Hitler if he had taken the Soviet Union. So in the meantime, for the last 30 years, 35 years since the war is over, the process of emptying our banks has been going on. The mingling of the banks with Nazis, with the fascists, still living fascists. I don't like the term neo-Nazi, although there's a whole new generation of them that came along. And in order to achieve what they wanted in all these various countries, these fascists had to kill heads of states, judges, politicians, actors, people that worked for them, scientists, whoever stood in their way, whoever exposed the plans for the next war, whoever fought against fascism, whoever exposed corruption at a major scale had to be done away with, or if they affected society to change our way of thinking, away from fascism into a humanistic way, these people were derided or put down and discredited. So that this process has been going on. But what happened is that as of this last couple of years, particularly noticeable with the Nugent Hand Bank scandal that I talk about so many times, that bank in Australia run by our top military officers into heroin, cocaine traffic, again, carrying on the assassination teams from where I left off with Permandex, the Italian corporation that was formed after World War II, and Nugent Hand came in. That bank not only collapsed with 55 million to 1 billion unaccounted for, but the London Times was the first paper to break the story that 12 people had been murdered that were connected to that bank. And then there was the scandal of Wells Fargo, the 200 to 300 million missing that they covered, and various banks began to collapse one after the other without accountability. And to top everything off, the one of the most horrendous and obvious scandals was the murder of Roberto Calvi in London in June, hanging off the Blackfriars Bridge right at the same time that Ronald Reagan and Nancy were visiting in London. He was the president of Branco Ambrosiano. And because it linked to the Vatican and because it had so many tentacles to dummy fronts, organized crime, murders of people before Roberto Calvi was murdered, it incorporated, like Nugent Hand, NATO, the American Army, the American CIA, British intelligence, Nazis, this crime syndicate, and world organizations, secret organizations, those inside the Vatican, like the Sovereign Military Order of Malta, the Sovereign Military Order of Jerusalem, the various secret societies began to get exposed because the investigators weren't looking for murderers, they were looking for money. It's just as in Jonestown, when over 900 people were killed, it didn't matter that they were killed. What mattered was, you know, that all of this be covered up, and Jimmy Carter said, let's not overreact. Again, I compare that to the massacre in a way over in Lebanon. The American people didn't care about American citizens. But Jim Jones had $14 million, a lot of it in Swiss banks and Panamanian banks, which I do want to get into some more. And that money of Jim Jones wasn't investigated. It was tied to narcotics traffic, to gun running, to mind control experiments, to Nazi experiments, covered up. Now, many investigations have been covered up before, particularly the John Kennedy murder, the Robert Kennedy murder, the Korea Gate story, the Senate Watergate story, the British cover-up there, scandals. And they've been successful at giving slaps on the wrist and covering up these stories. But a new element has come into the picture now, and that specifically is what I call the money story. What is happening in these various countries and banks? Where is the money going? Who has the money? How are these people connected to each other? And it's these pieces of information that are of interest to me, and I'm going to try to make sense of them for you, say, in the next weeks, 1, 2, and 3, a three-part series, going into this particular area of the combination of the secret societies, the Nazis, the organized crime, the deposed monarchies, the drug traffic, the people that are being killed, the countries that are having the coups, and how a handful of people, their names run through this whole scenario. It is a script with a few people appearing always at the same time and places or mingling with each other. Now, there were some articles that, as I say, were of particular interest that I want to use as an introduction to the some of the other material. One is from the New Solidarity that came out August the 20th, 1982, on the Vatican, Licio Gelli. That was the man who fled Italy, went down to Argentina, who was arrested the night before Grace Kelly's accident and before Jamal was murdered. This is called The Vatican, Licio Gelli, Monaco, and Kissinger. And New Solidarity, it's put out by Lyndon LaRoche. For years, I thought he was flaky. I thought he was off the walls. I have trouble relating to some of the people he works with. I can't accept everything he says. But in all fairness, in the last year, somebody gave me a gift subscription to New Solidarity and said, start taking it because there's things in there that you're talking about on the program. And in all fairness, it is the only newspaper that makes connections of events coming down and makes them before they happen, consistently before they happen. And you have to begin to recognize this as a source of information if it happens that way, and it can be checked out. New Solidarity, an article on August the 20th. They had another one on August the 25th. I'm going to share with you on August the 24th. They had one on Monaco and Henry Kissinger, and this was 2 weeks before Grace died. August 25th, they had one on Kissinger, the Falanges. That's the fascist party set up by Hitler in Lebanon with Pierre Gemayel. Lebanon, it's called Monte Carlo and the Nazi Connections to Begin and Sharon. That was August the 25th. The New York Post had an article about Princess Grace and Vatican secrets, which I want to share with you how I got that so quickly. And then the two articles were sent by David Emery from the San Francisco Examiner and San Francisco News on Christian Von Dom in Bolivia. I mentioned this before that are very important, the cocaine connections, because they go right back to New Jersey, to Washington, D.C., to Ronald Reagan, and that full cycle, the circle that Mr. Sagan talks about, the title of his book. Then a story on the Italian scandal, again, the arrest of Licio Gelli, and the Vatican connection, a book review that came out yesterday in the San Francisco Chronicle, and somebody sent me the book today. Of course, I haven't read it yet, but this cross-section of seven stories is a prelude to part one of the material I'm going to share with you, because it covers a lot of the background of the individual cause and effect events that are taking place. Now, New Solidarity, starting with that article, August the 20th, the title was Kissinger's Prince, Scattered Bodies, Marked the Fall of Spadolini Government in Italy. And this is about Henry Kissinger working with a crisis in Italy, which is described in quotes, in reality, this crisis is one of the most dramatic events in a seething international faction fight, which historically has had its most open and violent manifestation in Italy, but it has a broader battle which includes all of us with the purpose to do away with Western democracies. And that's why week after week I talk about Fritz Kramer, the German Habsburg royalty who was the mentor of Haig and Kissinger, Alexander Haig and Kissinger, because Kissinger is his puppet and Kramer is not visible. And this article tells about the Freemason Lodge in Rome and the dirty operations of Licio Gelli there, but the so-called Monte Carlo Commission Lodge of Monaco and the Grandmother Lodge of the city in London are connected. Now, London is where Calvi was hanging from the bridge. He went to London and obviously had some messages and people to see. London is the place where Shlomo Argov, the Israeli ambassador, was shot. He didn't die. You haven't seen a picture of him. June the 4th, he was shot. And the cause and effect, June the 6th, was the invasion of Israel into Lebanon. This story goes into the assassination teams of Henry Kissinger. They keep accusing him of his links to the killing the former prime minister of Italy, Aldo Moro, and their plans to put Mr. Craxi in as a new Il Duce in Italy. This article says Craxi would become the new Mussolini. The Banco Ambrosiano scandal rubbed off on all of them. And the central head of the bank, the central bank head, is a Mr. C. Ampi from Banco Ambrosiano, a suspected member of the Monte Carlo Commission and also the Grandmother Lodge in London. So they were writing 2 weeks before Grace died about the links of Monte Carlo to Licio Gelli, and the day that Licio Gelli was arrested in Switzerland, the next day was her car crash. Now, there was another story August the 24th on Henry Kissinger, Mr. Craxi from Italy, and Monaco, and it, again, goes into the links of the lodge in Monaco, the importance of it, connected to British, American, and Swiss people working with the Trilateral Commission, the Société des Bains de Mer in Monaco, and the links of Prince Rainier with the Radziwill and the Thurn and Toxa family of Europe from the Hesse area. This story goes into Roy Cohn, who went quickly to Monaco. He was hired as the attorney for Alfred Bloomingdale when this suit came up. And he went immediately to Monaco, where he was having dinner with the man whose father is the attorney for Prince Rainier. Roy Cohn is close to Helene Von Dahm, whose former husband, Christian Von Dahm, is in La Paz, Bolivia, with top Nazi Gestapo cocaine dealers, a man, Mr. Suarez, who brings in 50% of all the cocaine in the United States, is making deals down in La Paz with Bank of America and with Ronald Reagan right now. So that the Roy Cohn connections, he's always been a bag man going back and forth and internationally with these countries, from Bloomingdale to Monaco to Helene Von Dahm to the White House to a special commission with Ronald Reagan. Very important character, and I'll do some cause and effect on where these people are one time, and then they're having dinner with another person here, and then an event happens, and they have been traveling around. As I say, I mentioned once before, I think last week, the San Francisco Examiner has the article on Bolivia pledges to pay foreign debt. Christian Von Dahm is general manager of Bank of Bolivia in La Paz. And this story, and also the one from the New York, San Jose News, and also the New York Times, mentioned Christian Von Dahm. Now, one cause and effect was I asked on the air 2-3 weeks ago, where is Christian Von Dahm, the husband whose name she uses, even though she's married to another man from New Jersey? He's a banker, supposedly in Germany. No, is it La Paz, Bolivia, with a cocaine king making deals? Included in these articles of the activity of Henry Kissinger wanting bloodbaths, in the detailed articles on wanting bloodbaths in Lebanon, meeting with people from Lebanon, the brother of the king of Syria, meeting in the Washington, D.C. There's the New Solidarity ran a very detailed story on the White House meetings and predicted that there would be bloodbaths, with the approval, of course, over in Lebanon, because Mr. Jamil wanted to get rid of about 100,000 native PLO women and children before he became president, or soon after he was president. Now, a World Watcher, a listener who many of you know, and Selena sent me a transcript of shortwave radio that she listens to from Moscow, Radio Moscow, September 21st. And I'll do more details with you on that later. But Radio Moscow is talking about the refugee camps where 3,300 people had their throat cuts, how the refugees were taken out of four hospitals, and about 4,000 people were killed, old men, women, and children, and how 30 trucks were brought in for the massacre. Now, Radio Moscow is saying this wouldn't happen without Washington's support. Israel would never dare to commit such atrocities or be a part of it without permission in Washington. And what New Solidarity was saying in the end of August was that Mr. Sharon was meeting with Henry Kissinger, and they were setting up these atrocities with the brother of the king of Syria, who would then go on to London and back to Washington, and that they were planning mass murders and atrocities. And that is consistent. What the shortwave radio is saying about the approval of the United States is consistent with New Solidarity saying that this was going to happen, and it did, in fact, happen. I don't think you can afford to ignore that newspaper, even though you don't agree with everything, because it is mentioning these items before they took place and who's involved, and sure enough, there they are. Now, I mentioned last week and the week before, just when I went on the air, bringing in Mr. Licio Gelli, who is so important. He was in Switzerland getting out from 60 to 50 to 60 million dollars. He was arrested. He won many tens of millions of dollars, and he was taken, I assume, back to Italy. Now, he has in his files 935 prominent people, politicians, generals, publishers, industrialists, lodge members. Now, you may slap his wrist, they may let him out of jail, they may let him hang by his shoelace or have an apparent heart attack. There's a lot of ways to die. But the point is that he's there now in their protection, in quotes, which is somewhat of a joke, but he knows so much. He knows literally who rules the world and how it's run. So that will he talk? What is he going to say? And how many people, how many canaries are there that are singing, that are willing to tell what is going on? Can you keep a man like Licio Gelli locked up? I made a list of what I call canaries, but I doubt if they'll sing too much. One is Michael Sindona of the Franklin National Bank, a very important person. Licio Gelli, Edwin Wilson has been arrested. Frank Turpel, who is loose, who was supposed to be in Beirut, but is on the lam and could be picked up any time. George Corcula, who's in a prison in Madrid, who already gave a TV show through London, and many of you have the transcripts of that, and I talked about that, how he set up the torture equipment for the CIA for Idi Amin and gave out many secrets. There's a book coming out about him. Robert Vesco is floating around. As I say, he made the Fortune 400. He isn't in jail, but he would allegedly be indicted if he came to the United States. And Mohammed Aja, who's in Rome, and allegedly is somewhat willing to talk. Now, those are the kind of people that would have something to say. I call them the possible canaries. But anybody who's involved in these kinds of scandals has to be a little bit nervous about their future or what will come out next. Now, somebody from New York who's familiar with my work and a world watcher remembered that before Princess Grace died, that there was an article in the New York newspaper about New York Post about Grace Kelly working inside the Vatican on something very top secret. I mentioned last week that she was a bag woman or a messenger of sort. I got clippings today that she recently was in Taiwan. She's up at the Arctic Circle. She was indeed in the Vatican. So this person called John Judge in Pennsylvania, who's done research for as many years as I can remember, 12, 14, 16 years. And he called me, and I called another world watcher in New York City who went to the library and got a copy out of the New York Post and mailed it to me so that we, the world watchers, had a chain which within 1 week I could bring you this information. This is from the New York Post, September 7th, 1982, by James Brady. The new role for Princess Grace. This is exactly 1 week before the car crash. She and 10 Roman Catholic cardinals are making two movies inside the Vatican for syndicated American television with Father Patrick Peyton. That's from Peyton Place. They're making these films featuring cardinals standing in front of the famed Pietà statue, praying in different languages. One will be a nativity scene for Christmas, the other be a crucifixion for Good Friday. The Vatican is using an opera singer to bring in the music background in this, but a Catholic newspaper, The Tablet, reports that the entire production is shrouded in such secrecy that not even the Vatican press office, they're not responding to queries about what is going on there inside St. Peter's Basilica. These top secrets were somebody was asking, of course, with all the scandals of Banco Ambrosiano, with Roberta Calvi, with Licio Gelli, and I mentioned again that July 19th, that Monaco and Grace and that can of worms would have to get caught in this ball of wax for many reasons that we'll go into consecutively for a few weeks. I didn't know that Grace was working in the Vatican, but some reporter picked it up that it was top secret and very important that we didn't know what she was doing there. I would love to see the movie to see how far the filming went for this particular movie. That was the New York Post. Now, the Tablet on September the 4th, and that's being sent to me by another person in New York, had an article titled With the Shroud of Secrecy. This is the one that the Post was taken from, the Catholic magazine, The Tablet. And it also mentioned that Princess Grace was working with Jacques Cousteau, or they don't use the word work, I use the word work, up in Spitsbergen, otherwise known as Svalbard, as part of Norway. And I will go into the oil developments and natural gas up in the Arctic Circle. Another listener from Minneapolis sent me articles on an engineer from MIT who goes between Paraguay, which is where Mengele's is, up to the Arctic Circle with his exploration. And remember the global resources, global natural resources, the Vesco corporation, it was investment overseas from New Jersey, fighting a German corporation wanting control of the Arctic gas and oil. A big story, I knew it was, and put it on the air for you about that. Now, the New York Daily News, September the 15th, had a story about Princess Grace, and they put it in the past tense. This was after she was dead. What was Princess Grace working on? A film in the Vatican. The work was completed in June. Now, the first story was, what in the heck is she doing? What are the secrets in the Basilica? The words were, what is going on at St. Peter's a week before the crash? Okay, once the crash happened, they said the film was completed in June. It'll be interesting to see if we ever see the movie or if she was just there for a particular reason that, and I imagine there was a lot of conversation going on. And as I said, I just got an article from Philadelphia, from New York rather, saying Grace was also in Taiwan recently with some marvelous quotations I'll share with you. Now, the book review and the book that I got at the Vatican Connection, San Francisco Chronicle, had a review of it yesterday, but there were certain points in this book that are pertinent to what I will be doing the second half of this program and for the next second or third weeks, or maybe for a long time to come. I want to share those with you. We'll take a break here so that you can turn your tape cassette over, and then we'll continue with part two of this program.